bringing memories to make you smile.
Griswold Radio.
Griswold Radio. Nigeria's number one gospel radio station.
Do you understand that it's quite possible for people to genuinely receive Jesus Christ into their life and enter into a church, and by the time they got involved in the church politics of this and this and that, they lose their salvation in the process? The Bible talks about the cares of life. It chokes the word out of them. And so there are mixed multitudes, and for that mixed multitude, we are receiving different kind of gospels. People saying there is grace, do what you like. Right now, you have Christian ushers that are acting movies and they are kissing inside the movie. Do you know that there's a pastor who is a movie director, an American pastor who's a movie director, and men and women kiss inside his movie like as if they are a correct couple. They show body, they wear pants inside a pastor's movie. So we are becoming more lascivious. We are becoming more permissive. All of that is going on. And scripture said it's going to be like that. Despite the fact that things are going to be that bad, scripture says some people have to stand in the gap. God says, I'm looking for just one person who will live for something beyond themselves. I'm actually very humbled that I contacted the grace. Because it's grace, sir. Me say, if I want to travel, you think I'm joking with you? I want to go and do summer in Hawaii. Myself, I want to write. I want to drive a nice car. Myself, I want some people to like me. You think I wake up and just want people to hate me? You seriously think I do that? No. But you see, so I contacted the grace to be able to live for something beyond myself. You know, it's a grace. And when I see people who don't have it, I don't judge them, because it's grace to be able to say, okay, I know that this thing is going to harm me, and I'm still going there anyway for the sake of the gospel. You know, so that in one word, that's really it. It was an apostolic mandate. I didn't know all the while, but I realized that along the way. And it was tough for me. There are times I'll be shedding tears, I'll be crying, I'll be like, God, you hate me, you don't want me to prosper, you just want. But the more I see, look at Daniel, for example. Do you know that Daniel said, I will not corrupt myself with the spread of the king's table? You think that was a one-off thing, sir? It was not. Daniel was fully committed to eating vegetable. And I'm not talking about just literally eating vegetable. There was another king after Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. Yeah? There was a handwriting on the wall. Yeah. How was it that Daniel was so on point, was like the greatest, the powerful, he was so accurate, everybody loved him. But yet, anytime there's a problem and they're looking for solution, he's not the one they call first. Do you know why? He was in obscurity. He was in obscurity. The main people they will call first. It's always happening. Have you noticed that it will happen to Elijah too? The people who come first are the false guys. Then when they have tried and failed, they will not remember. Hey,
there's one guy now.
Look, we're not supposed to use the gift of God for fame. It's not a lot of our people are getting it wrong. We're using the gift of God for fame. We are using it for money acquisition. Daniel could be the richest. Do you know that? All of these kings were always promising him half of their kingdom. But you know what? He would tell them, don't bother about it. You can keep your wealth to yourself. If you read the book of Daniel, you see there several times he will say, keep it, I don't want it. They will say, we'll give you meat. He said, no, I'll eat vegetable. Was he mad? No. I realize, sir, that Jesus Christ came to teach us about simple pleasures and simple desires. That's why I say, let patience have its perfect work, so that you can be entire, lacking nothing. How come you are talking about endurance and you are talking about lacking nothing at the same time? It looks like oxymoron. No, but Jesus is trying to tell to build soldiers, spiritual soldiers out of us, and say that, look, when you have money, do you know that excessive money as excessive poverty is corrosive to the soul? When you have a lot, do you know that when you have excess, you are tempted to indulge? When you indulge and the trial comes, you know, it will seem like a big deal. But if you've been exercising yourself in restraint, self-restraint, it won't be such a big deal. So the life of the spirit is a life of restraint. The life of the spirit is a life of caution. The life of the spirit is a life of simple. Look at Jesus Christ, the creator of everything. He came, he was a simple man. He had simple pleasures. He had simple desire. Society is telling us that It is those people who have grand pleasures, who have grand desires, and have complicated pleasures. You know, they are the ones that are successful. And then the church is also running after them. Don't you understand that when the world declares that this is the way, the church should be going anti it? Why is it that our society is telling us that fashion is the way and the church is spearheading fashion? Why is it that our society is telling us that money, if you go on Sound City on Channel O, on MTV base right now, do you know what those musicians, 90% of the music is saying, oh, money, 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 baby, 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 clothes, 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 fashion, 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 gold, gold, glow, bling, 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 car, 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 award, award, award. Then when you come into the church, what is the church saying? The very same thing. And guess what, sir? Guess what the big deal is? We are not alarmed.
It's now a norm. It's
yeah. That you anytime the world declares something, the church should be against it. But the church is so in unison with the world. And guess what? Even with all due respect, even a lot of our fathers are not alarmed by it. If they are, they don't seem to be saying anything.
They're
very
expressing the
about it. About wow. it, you know. So it's not easy to stand in the gap, like I was saying. I contacted the grace to do that, and it's like I have a lot of role models. Jesus Christ is my role model. He was a simple man with simple pleasures. Guess what? I'm actually beginning to discover that there is a wealth that God has saved for his people that a lot of people chasing after money do not know about.
Wow.
Do you know that sometimes I'm in the home with my wife and my children? And we may not even be gisting or anything, but nobody is chasing us. We're not chasing anybody. Do you know that there's a wealth in not having competition? There's a peace of mind that comes from there's nobody I'm competing with.
Yes.
But a lot of people who are out there in the crazy competitive world, they can't have that peace. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I'm not rich. Everybody out there know he does not have money. They know that I have second-hand car. Do you seriously think I worry about who sees me buying Bolly? But that's it right there. That the fact that I don't give myself headache about who looks at me. Do you know that there are people who are so concerned about who sees them, what they wear? When I have good clothes, I wear. When my leg, do you know that yesterday I went out. By the time I got back, my hair was scattered, my leg was dusty, and I'm still Kenny Corey. And I was like, wow, this was... Do you know there are times I go for interviews, I don't come with my car, and I will not take taxi. I'll take public transport. And in the buses, in the Okada, in the Marua, in the Keke, people will say, Kenny Corey, and I'll shake their hand, and I'll be so excited. And then we'll start sharing the gospel.
Wow.
I was like, this was what Jesus was doing. Jesus was not locking himself up in grandeur, in genge. You know, Jesus was walking on the street. He was moving with simple people, simple pleasure, simple life, and he was ministering the gospel. And so for me, like I said again, we need people, a lot more people need. God is not raising superhero. I'm not a superstar, I'm not a celebrity. All that is just crazy. I'm hoping that God could use more of us, like, you know, Bishop G is here. God could use, you are doing your part, and I'm sincerely speaking grateful to God for your life. It takes tenacity, it takes focus on to do what you're doing. And I'm grateful because we're also seeing, you know, the fruit of it. You know, a lot more people need to come up and say, look, it's not about Kenny Corey, celebrity, this is brand. So I, you know how we also now turn it into a brand.
I would like us to talk about that before they wrap up this, about Christianity as a brand and as a life. I think you did a particular post.
I said Christianity as a brand is against Christianity as a lifestyle.
As a lifestyle. So you turn it to brand.
You see, we our Christianity right now is a self-absorbed Christianity. Even some of the well-meaning men of God that, you know, still invite me to their church, sometimes I sit down and I'm like, oh no, we are missing it. It's not about us. But 99% of the gospel that comes out of the churches is self-centered. Look at these people. They can't stop talking about themselves. They can't stop talking about their bank account. They can't stop talking about the flight they got in and somebody gave them money. No, it's not about all these things. I'm talking about even well-meaning men of God that I know love me and I love them. You know, I was in a church and the pastor, and I was like, oh no. The Holy Spirit is a principle. It's not a person. The Holy Spirit is a principle to success. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is a principle for financial explosion. No. The Christian life is a life of self-motivation, that you mortify yourself. Mm. Is death to self. So the scripture says, the life I live not in myself, for myself. I live in Christ and for Christ. But we return people back to Egypt. The scripture says that they always, you know why? The same people God said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. I'm going to give you this land. That same people God said, you will not enter this promised land. Why? The scripture said they were always returning to Egypt in their heart. And that's what this once saved, forever saved people don't want to understand. That God could say to you that you are saved and I'm going to give you eternal life. And then he could look into the book of life and wipe your name out of it. Because there's a parallel between the children of Israel who received the promise, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And because they always return to Egypt in their heart, God said, this generation will not enter. It was the only ones who connected to God by faith that were able to enter. Look at Abraham as well. Abraham was rich. A lot of all these people who talk about prosperity, they always like to mention Abraham. But do you know that what we contacted in Abraham was not the promise for money. It was Jesus that we contacted in Abraham. The scripture said Abraham was looking for a kingdom. It was not here. The scripture said if the kingdom that Abraham was looking for was of this earth, he would have returned to all. The reason why Abraham did not return back into the world, into where he didn't return to where he was coming from, was because the kingdom he was seeking was not a kingdom on this earth. It was a spiritual kingdom. It was an eternal kingdom. Do you know that a lot of church people have returned to the world? A lot of so-called Christians, people who say they've given their life to Christ, they are the ones producing secular artists right now. They are the ones singing secular music right now. Mention any secular artists. They were all church people. Sons of pastors, you know, choir masters, one thing. They're all, you know, why? They're returning to the world and we are not alarmed. The reason why there is such a return is because of this branding. I understand spiritual branding. I understand that whatever God will use, God will first name it. Do you understand? But there's a difference between God naming you and you naming yourself in the name of God. You doing it for yourself. It's easy for us to tell God what to do than for us to wait on God for what to do.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So I'm in a church and the pastor is saying, pray, whatever you want, just believe God for it and he'll give it to you. No, God does not give people whatever you want. He said, abide in me and my word abide in you. And then you will ask, because why? The word of God would have conditioned you to his will. You understand so
you'd be
that?
Asking what he wants.
What he wants. Do you understand? So that's the whole thing. The whole thing, in one word, the whole thing about Christian branding is really just self. You know, the gods that we are serving in most of our churches right now is self, is money, you know, self and money, majorly, majorly.
Some deep truth right here, man.
I want to add something to what he said.
Okay.
You know, it's very much in line with what he's saying, you know, but from the angle that I see, you know, I always tell people that when we read this Bible and the teacher reveals things to us, he revealed to us an angle of God. And then that's why Paul would say, you know, I know in part, I prophesy in part, you know, because there's a part that another person carries. You know, like what he was saying, what God showed me about this, it's very frightening also, you know, and I was sharing in church. I've been doing a series in church I called What Time Is It? You know, because one of the things that I believe that is key to function in the now plan of God is to be on the same timetable with God. The Bible talked about the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, that they had the understanding of the times. They knew what Israel ought to do at every point in time. Now, the question is this, do we have people who have understanding of the times? You know, I was sharing with them in church. I said, look, I was chatting with a friend in America. And, you know, by that time, you know, she goes like, it's midnight here and I'm just waking up. And so if you don't live on the same time zone with God, when he's saying good morning, you're saying good night. And so it is very critical for us to be on the same time zone. And you know what God showed me? God was speaking, the same children of Israel, you know, that they were camped around Mount Horeb. And God had to say to them, you have dwelt too long on this mountain. It's time for you to go forward. You know, and then I began to study Mount Horeb. You know, Mount Horeb was not really anything particularly bad. And so I was wondering why God will say, leave this place. You are wasting time here. You are celebrating things here that you should have moved on from. What does Horeb represent? Horeb was the first place that Moses met with God. So for Moses, it was a connection to his call. You know, like where he could celebrate. Do you know how I was feeling? And I saw bush burning and it was not burning and God spoke to me and this and that. And for the children of Israel, that same Horeb is also Mount Sinai. That was the first encounter they had with God. But you see, in the plans of God for the children of Israel, it was time for them to move from that phase. You know, but they were celebrating the things that God had moved on from. And many times in the church, that's where we find ourselves. We're celebrating the things that God, because the plan, there are more mountains to be taken for God. But we're still celebrating new birth. We're still celebrating the fact that, oh my God, God gave me a car. We're still celebrating this. And God is saying, you have dwelt too long on this mountain. Because you see, this is a journey towards, we're going to the promised land. You know, and on your way. And remember, Mount Horeb is a mountain. So there's some form of success. It's not valley. You know, you're maybe at the top of your career. You know, some people, where we are locked on is we are celebrating, oh, look at now, I have this sizable congregation. And that's the things we are celebrating. Oh, look at now, I do 7 services. That's the things we are celebrating. And God is saying, hey, that's not the reason why I brought you out of Egypt. I'm taking you somewhere. It's a journey. You have stayed too long on this mountain. And you see, that is like what Ken is saying. That's the kind of message that is not popular. People may not be excited to come to, you know, people that are, you know, reminding us that there is still a lot more to be done. We just need to yield ourselves, you know, to God for what God is doing in the now. You know, somebody said something that blessed me. He said, your denomination does not show me what you believe. It only shows me where you stopped when God moved on. You know, and you see, we have a lot of people who are celebrating, you know, things that God has moved on from. You know, these things, like I told them, I said, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing is an addition. So what we have been called to do is to seek the kingdom, like he referred to Abraham. But you know what we're doing today? We're seeking every other thing to come and buy the kingdom. Because we feel that, look, by the time I'm successful out there, when I come to church, they will give me front row. You know, I become an elder in the church. But that is not what God is about right now. God is raising a people. God is building his church. You know, and, you know, in closing, because of time, there's so much to say about this. A friend of mine went to Europe and he was like, I'm just so sad for these people because, you know, a mega church here may be like 100 people. And, you know, back home we have. And I said, look, God is not numbering his church. He's weighing it. You know, it's not about the number of people that are gathered. You know, Jesus said, many people are saying, Lord, Lord, but their heart is not connected to me. The reason why they've come is not the same reason why I have called them. And that was why every time that he will bless bread and the next service, people will come, he will take you to another level. Except you can eat of my flesh and drink, you have no part. The whole church will scatter. You know, so it's not about the crowd. It's about what God is doing.
Absolutely. You know, sir, absolutely. Yes.
Let me chip this in. Another thing that people are not aware of is this. Occultism is growing. It's becoming a global phenomenon. I'm not talking about occultism like you go to university and go and join cult. I'm talking about the awareness of the occult. Because there are hidden knowledge that the church has refused to share. That the occult is now revealing. They are revealing it in movies. They are revealing it in music videos. They are revealing it on YouTube. For example, we are beginning to realize that the world might actually not be round. We begin to realize that the world might actually be flat. And the scripture talked about it. That actually the stars, all this galaxy and everything may not actually be what they are telling us it is. That we are living in a dome. And that all these space explorers, they've gone to space, they've done all of that stuff, is all hogwash. Bottom line is this, sir. This seems like as if, I've forgotten a word they use for it. But bottom line is this, we are living in an occultic world. Okay, we are living in a world where powerful people have sold out to Satan. The thing that happened to Jesus, where Satan said, I'll give you the world if you bow down to me. A lot of people have bowed to Satan and they are serving Satan. Some people are serving Satan, they are not aware of it. For example, the whole concept of Jesus Christ. If you mention Jesus now, you say a white man in your head. Jesus may not be white, too. Jesus may actually be a black man. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 15, the scripture says, when John saw him, his feet was like burnt brass. Burnt brass. The brass, what's the color of brass? It's brown. The scripture says his hair is white as wool. That's not, I think Jeremiah, Daniel also said the same thing. When you both know they get woolly hair, when you both don't have brown skin, you see, they are deep mysteries. You see, there's a mystical side of the Christian faith. A lot of church people wearing tie and suit and looking gege on Instagram, they don't know jack about the mystical side of the Christian faith, other than the word of faith, you know, point and kill. Mention it. And what are they even using there? Say, all this point and kill. You name it and claim it. Name it and claim
point
it.
Point and kill.
Name it and claim it. What are you naming and claiming? The scripture says, the scripture emphatically says, do not lay up for yourself treasure where moth and rust can come. That's scriptures, okay? Then your pastor says, point and claim. And then you're saying, I want Hummer. I want, you know, I said, I have a sibling.
Hummer.
Sir, I had a sibling on her phone like this. Her DP was a house full of dollars. And then when her phone rings, money come to me, money come to me, money come in pound sterling, in euro. In Guess what, sir? That is a Christian. That's supposed to be a Christian. We don't know the half of it. And so what's happening, sir, is that a lot, because we've dumped the people down, there's really nothing new. Think about it. All the leadership conferences, all the deliverance sessions, all the money programs, and they go there. They are not saying all the marriage counseling programs and everything. They are not telling you anything different. The way I love my husband, I submit to my husband, is a lie. Women don't submit to a man who is not submitted. Go and check it very well. Even the best women, we are all married here, sir. We are all married here.
Yes, sir.
Women have problem with submission. They won't submit to you because you are a man of God. Guess what? Men also have problem with love. We think love is when you pay your bills and, you know, and do all of that. But love is also submission. Do you know that? The scripture says that love is the fruit of the spirit. All that, you know, gentleness, patience, kindness, everything is love. Is the fruit of love. And part of it, the Bible says love does not seek its own. When you are not seeking your own, what are you doing? You're putting others before you. What when you're putting others before you, what are you doing? You're submitting your own. You say, see others as what? As better than you. In humility, we are supposed to eschew others as better than us. So I'm in my house right now, I'm the head of the home. Hallelujah. And I have an idea. And my wife also has an idea. And I'm saying, woman, submit to my idea. No. That's not how to do it. The day the Holy Spirit showed me that, I was shedding tears because I realized that we are the reasons why homes from marriage is failing. We don't know it. We don't understand that submission is also love. When God says to the man, love your wife, he was telling her, submit to your wife. God now took one of the juice of love, which is submission, I gave it to the woman. You take it. It's like love is a baggage. In that baggage, you have submission, you have self-control, you have patience, you have all the things men don't want to do. And then God now removed just one thing out of that. In fact, he didn't remove it. He just cut a piece, a slice of it. And said, he gave you the whole baggage and gave the woman one slice of it. You submit. You carry the whole baggage on your head. Do you understand? So what I'm saying generally is that we're not really telling people anything new. Do you understand? We are recycling. Do you know, sir, that when Christianity is not fast-growing religion anymore, we might actually be stunted and dwindling. Go on Google right now. Islam is the fastest religion right now. Do you understand? So we are living in a bubble if we think that Christianity is growing. Christianity is not growing. And so when people come to your church and you say you make altar call and they are rushing forward, you are not speaking to the unchurched though. No, you are talking about people who left their other churches. They left other denominations because your own, there's flashy lights, neon lights, and the music is gege. They are coming there.
and then they want to give their life to Christ, to your Christ.
I actually just Googled that, like you said, actually, and shows, like you said, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world and is expected to outstrip Christianity by the end of the century. I think by twice as fast as that.
Try another thing, sir. Google in America. Google the fastest religion in America. That's supposed. You know what? You know why I said America? It's very important to put America in view. Because, see, all the life coaches, all the motivational speakers, all the self-help gospel and all the financial gospel that we are getting, it's just copy and paste from America. All those baggages, we look at all these American pictures we're bringing down. Let us see if it is
helping. Here he says, Islam is the fastest growing. Now, I feel like when pastor says, brother, open up. Oh, go ahead.
Brother, tell I read it for
thank you very much. So, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States and throughout the world. As of 2015, 7 million Muslims live in America, half of which were born in the United States, and 1.6 billion Muslims throughout the world.
Bottom line, what we're saying basically, sir, is that we are celebrating mediocrity. You understand? We have let the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of uncertain riches. We have forgotten that money is deceitful. The scripture said it clearly that people have lost their faith because of the deceitfulness and the deceitfulness of uncertain wealth. So number one, this wealth self is not even certain. And yet it is also deceptive. Why is it deceptive? For example, you could live in a cocoon. How are you living in a cocoon? You're a pastor of 32,000 members and there's AC blowing you every service. And there's light and your musicians are on point and you just assume that that's Christianity. It's like that everywhere. Do you know one of the reasons why our leaders cannot touch our lives? Because they are living in so much comfort. Expose yourself to the same things your people are exposing themselves to, then you will make a difference. Look at Jesus Christ. When they came to take him away, they didn't know the difference between him and his disciples.
True.
But our leaders, our political leaders, are living there. They are buying brand new cars. They are living lavish lifestyles. And that's what our ministers are also doing right now. You see men of God that are driving top of the range cars, that are living in palaces, that are wearing these expensive suits and all of that. And they want to minister to what ministry?
We're going to take a short break right now. We would love to close up when we are back from this break. But this happens all the time. Bishop G, you can bear me witness. It happens all the time. We end up saying so much with still a lot more to be said that we didn't share. A number of people are tweeting at us already. I'll read a couple of them and play you a song. Ayomi today says, can we get the podcast already, sir? Ha! Too much revelation. Kilo de? I agree with you. Chukwemeke says, if you don't live in the same time zone with God, when he's saying good morning, you'll be saying good night. That's quoting Bishop G right there. Ruth, all the way from the Netherlands. Good to have you plugged in. She says, good morning. Thank you very much for your word of wisdom, Kenny Curry. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you indeed. Dicky tweet saying, Kenny Curry be saying some real hard truths. Sometimes it's really hard, right? Yeah, I know. And responding to the question I asked then, if you can mention 5 songs that talk about the rapture, Dicky says, Certified Church Boy says, good morning, Uncle Spice on the mic. I think I know Book of Life, and that's by Nathaniel Bassi, and The Job Arun by Lara George. And he ends up saying, that's all I can mention. Well, and they're kind of old songs, you know. So this one from Sam says, Kenny Corey be making me ask myself some questions about my vision and my mandate. This session is deep. There's another question right here about one of your songs. We'll be back to talk about that. This song right here is from the album Noah, phenomenal album. You can check it out on iTunes right now, your digital platforms, and you should be able to get the album. To it's called Noah by Ken Curry. Here's track 9 of the album. It talks about the rapture as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just so I'm sure. Are You Ready is the title of this one. I hope it blesses you. Check it out.
Iniquity fills the land, pride of life rules of mind. As the people's heart is waxing cold, the preachers are becoming politicians. Kingdom rises against kingdoms, nations war against nations. Christianity without Jesus.
In your house, in your office, in your car, listen to Praise World Radio on the go. With your PC, your laptop, and even your mobile phones, we bring you the best of urban gospel radio everywhere you go. Praise World Radio, on the go.